Well, hi, this is Joanne Ray with Senior Marketing Specialist, and this is A Human Connection. I've been so extraordinarily blessed over the course of my career to meet some fascinating and super successful people, and now I get to bring those conversations to you. So I hope you enjoy, I hope you listen, and I hope we can learn along the way together. I'm very honored today to bring to you a guest that for me, and you'll hear why in the next few minutes as you hear her bio, has always been an inspiration to me, a mentor to me, and somebody that I've always kind of followed secretly in her trail. And then the last several years, we've gotten to be together quite a bit, and I've gotten to know her even better and admired her even more once I got to know her more. So this is Angela Powell. She is the COO of Pinnacle Financial out in Pennsylvania. So good morning. Welcome, Angela.
Hi, Joanne, and thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're one of those big star gets that I was so happy to finally get our schedules to align. I know we had a lot of issues with that. I can't imagine this being a busy time of year, right?
Right, exactly. Vegan.
Not exactly. So as you know, so Human Connection is all about you, the person, what makes you tick. I want to know all about your past. I want to know, you know, all the roads that you've traveled down and the obstacles that you faced and how you overcome that, and want everybody to get to know you more as a person. But to start off, let's do a little bit of a business bio, if you don't mind. Kind of walk us through how you did get started in this industry, what you're doing now, and then we'll jump into the good stuff.
Okay. So I actually never thought I was going to be a professional. I was going to be a mom. I was going to have four or five children. I was going to stay home. And when my life kind of veered off that course, I thought, well, I better do something, right? So I actually started in the insurance world with Prudential, and I worked in their group disability department, and I worked there as a supervisor many, many moons ago. I wanted to do something different, and I landed with a long-term care company, which is where I met you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was one of those things where I loved it. I have an affinity for older people, and I could see what we could do with our policies, but I loved agents, and I just could not believe that I, because, you know, I traveled quite a bit. I mean, I think my worst year, I traveled over 150 days that year,
God.
I would go places and meet people, and, you know, I felt like I had this giant extended family across the country. Yeah. And, you know, it was a great opportunity, and I was lucky. I worked for Kevin, who's, you know, now my business partner. Kevin was my boss, and he was one of those people that really never saw you as male, female, young, old, thin, fat. You were just, hey, the right person for the job.
Yeah.
So at a time when that was not really the case, he always gave me opportunities. So I was able to, you know, pretty quickly get into a position of influence, and I was very fortunate. The company I worked for sold to Conseco, and when I moved to Conseco, that trajectory continued. They made me a what they used to call an elected officer at that company, and I had a lot of opportunities there. And then, of course, Kevin left, and he started Pinnacle, and I left. Joined him, and then I bought into the company. So that's kind of a condensed version of where I've been and how I got here.
And that's something. And it's so cool how you talk about the industry, meeting agents and feeling like you have this extended family. That's been, you know, you and I have talked about it. We get the luxury of seeing each other a few times a year at conferences and things. And I always feel like it's more of a family reunion than a insurance industry conference, because some of the greatest people that I've met over the course of my career, including yourself, you know, work in different markets, maybe work in different geography, maybe we're competitors, that part doesn't even enter into our brains. But just getting together and being able to, you know, break bread together and have a little fun and learn a little bit more about each other has been super fun for me as well. So talk a little bit more about Pinnacle and kind of the building of that, building of a company, literally from the ground up, it sounds like. When Kevin came up with the idea, was it a carrier that kind of led you to that? And then kind of walk us through how you built that.
So when we were at American Travelers, we were the sales and marketing arm for American Travelers. Okay. When Conseco purchased American Travelers, they said, you know what, you guys are really good at sales and marketing. So we're going to make you a wholly owned subsidiary of us. And we're going to make you, they called it an IMO, Independent Marketing Organization. Yeah. And you're only going to be able to market Conseco products. So we went from only doing long-term care to suddenly we were doing MedSup. At the time, not MedAdvantage, nobody did it then, but Life, Annuity, those products. And I may, maybe 3 years into that new arrangement, Kevin said to me, look, why are we doing this for other people? I think that we should do this for ourselves. So that was 2003. He left and started Pinnacle. And at the time, there were eight of us. And, you know, that was it. There was eight of us. And today we're 50 strong. We've moved three times. We've taken, you know, more and more space.
Yeah.
We have a national footprint. We operate throughout the country. We've acquired a couple smaller entities and put them up under Pinnacle. We just announced the other week, we've always had a lot of success in the multicultural markets. And we announced, I think it was just last week, that we purchased a big part of an agency down in Florida that is not only multicultural, but all women.
All right. And
it's so funny because that's not why. It's just a coincidence that that happens to be. And again, that goes back to what I said about Kevin. He never cares who you are, what you look like. It's the best people for the job. And they do a phenomenal job in the multicultural markets and in the ACA market, where we were really never strong. So this is going to be an opportunity for us to spread our wings.
That's a bit. Great. Yeah, expand even further. Yeah, the multicultural market is something that we've looked into, we've talked about it, we've taken one step toward it, and we haven't jumped into that, if you will. I think it's finding the right person, it's finding the right partner, like it sounds like you guys have, to get into that market space, but I love that. So you talked a lot about, you know, when you first came on. So I always have the story that I tell, and Angela and I were able to be at an event. Gosh, what was that? When we were in New York City. It was a few months ago.
A few months ago,
and we got to be at an event. And I was happened to be telling some ladies about that were sitting next to me that I didn't know how I knew you. And you were sitting kind of across the table, and you'd never heard me tell that story before. And so I felt so bad that I've been talking about you and talking you up for so many years, and the story that I tell, and I had never told you. So I'll share that with everybody today. But I started my career, you know, 23-year-old, didn't know anything. This was just going to be a job for a while until I figured out what I really wanted to do, right? And so it was about 93, 94, somewhere in there. Hadn't been working with Dan for very long. And he drags me to this conference in Kansas City. And I sat down and didn't think about it at the time, but I'm one of maybe two women in the entire audience. And that didn't even jump out to me at that time, because that was very normal in our industry. And there was one speaker and then another speaker. And then all of a sudden, like a bolt of lightning, here comes this lady in her business suit and her high heels, holding the microphone, walking down the center aisle of all these men agents and taking center stage and leading the entire presentation. And it was just such a moment for me, which is sad because it was the mid-90s. It shouldn't be that big a deal. But it was such a moment for me because it was like, wow, you know, there's somebody that's a strong female in the front of the room leading this entire presentation. This entire day was built around your presentation. And that never has left my brain. That never left the impact that it did leave was, because at the time, like I said, I was a very young person right out of college, just starting here as a job. But it kind of was a shift for me that day to go, okay, so I can be in the front of the room too. I could be that person, you know, instructing and teaching and sharing ideas. So I thank you publicly now. I thank you privately before, but I thank you publicly now for being that inspiration. I know not just for me, but for many women in our industry. And now, fast forward, look what we get to do, Angela. There's women everywhere. All these beautiful, bright, intelligent, creative, strong young women that have joined this industry just makes me extremely proud.
You know, it's funny because I'm always so conflicted about that. You know, I made a promise to myself that I would always know more than the men in the room.
Yeah.
So they would see me as a source of knowledge, not as the girl in the front of the room. Right. And when you told that story, it was like, wow, validating for me because, you know, I was really happy with my trajectory there with how I was treated and how I was received. You know, I know it was a time when it should have been like that, but it really wasn't in our business. Yeah. It was really a lot different. So for me to be able to go into a room and be respected and listened to, you know, it was very validating. Yeah. And, you know, I think that I look around today and, you know, in our office, we have quite a few females here, right? And pretty much most of the agencies I go to, you see more and more females at the helm. And I love that. You know, I just love the idea that anymore, it's just like, yeah, she's the person with the brown hair. It's not about, yeah, she's a girl. You know, I share a birthday with Martin Luther King. And that was one of the things that I always like admired. His vision was that things would just be adjectives, right? Like that's all it would be. It would not have any weight when you saw a person. And I feel like we're getting there.
Yeah.
You know, I look around and I see people, you know, you have Frankie at Aetna, you have Rachel at UHC, you have Elizabeth at Cigna, you have a lot of strong women in positions of influence at significant companies. And I'm just really proud of us. And I appreciate those kind words, Joanne.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. One of the things I think I shared at that meeting that you were in, I were at in New York was, it's funny how the timeline changes over the years. And when I would first go to any kind of meeting where there was a boardroom or a conference room, there's very few women, most of them not in the front of the room by any means, to where then it kind of started shifting somewhere along the line to where it was very commonplace to see women in the boardroom, the leadership position with female owners of insurance agencies, top positions, like you mentioned, Frankie and Rachel at the Uniteds and the Aetnas and all of that. So now it's gone all the way full circle to if I walk into a room, a boardroom or a conference room, and there's no females in charge of any sector, then I'm kind of like, huh, that's kind of weird. So it's so funny how it's in the course of my career, which doesn't seem that long, but it has been 30 years, that has gone from, of course, they're not in the room to, well, that's weird. I wonder why there's no females in leadership of this company. So,
well, it's funny. I'm going to share this with you real quick. Last week, when we were at this agency, we were visiting with them. And one of their people there, that's the head of their operations, she switched careers, right? So she came from a company, a financial company, and she did a lot of traveling. And she said the first time she had to travel to the Middle East, which was only about 8 years ago, it was, she said she got on the plane and there was not another female in business class.
Yeah.
And she said when she landed there, she was told, you know, cover your hair, make sure that your heels aren't too high. She said her boss kept apologizing, but said to her, you know, you have to understand you're not going to be allowed to order until all the men at the table order. You won't be given any consideration. You're going to have to walk behind people. And she said it was like such a revelation to her. Wow, we just don't understand what we have here. And that was 8 years ago, she said.
Wow. And I don't know that a whole ton has changed in that part of the world right. since then. So where do you think, Angela, your confidence came from? What made you think that you could do what you're doing today? Or I know it's all been baby steps on your climb up, but what gave you the confidence to be the person in the front of the room or to be the person with the microphone or to be the person to say, hey, Kevin, I think we can do this. Let's do it together. Where's that come from?
So It's funny. I never thought I would be that person. And I was on a trip to Illinois, and the person that was supposed to do the meeting the next day said to me, yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm like, what do you mean? I just decided I'm not going to do it. You're going to have to do the meeting. It's a panel. It's a bunch of people. If you don't do well, who cares? You'll never see these people again. And they said, you know, just listen to what other people say and kind of feed off the crowd. So I'm like, all right. And I had no choice. This is one of my bosses, right? So I get there the next day and the panel is set up in alphabetical order. So American Travelers, A, Amex, CNA. Like, oh my God. And I was a sales director and everybody else on the panel was like the president or the senior VP. And so they had someone there that was from one of the consumer groups. And you'll understand and appreciate this because you know long-term care. So he stands up and he's just ranting how everybody on that panel should be ashamed of themselves because there's all the gatekeepers and the policies. And he's just going on and on and on. And then they said, Angela. And I just was so angry at the misrepresentation that I said, I'd like to just throw my presentation away and I'd like to rebuttal what you just said. And I just stood up and I just started talking. And I'm like, 3-day prior has not existed in policies forever. You can buy a vanilla nursing home policy, but you can also buy a blended policy. You can get assisted living. All these things that you are telling people, don't buy these policies because you won't be able to use them because of the gatekeepers. You're doing an injustice to our clients. And it was funny. I found in my anger at the misrepresentation of our group, all of a sudden I wasn't upset or scared. And the irony was the people on that panel, I still see them today. They're still in the business.
So the theory out the door that if you bomb, it doesn't matter, you'll never see them again.
Right. So, but then I get back to the office and I'm getting all this feedback and I'm like, okay, I've never had a public speaking course. I've never spoken the front of the room. You know, I feel like I believe what I say.
Right.
And I think it just really boils down to that, Joanne. I love what I do. I love what our business does. When we started enrollments here, when we started our enrollment department, we had to bring in sometimes 18, 19 temps. And I would sit with them and I would hold up an application and say, I want you to see this piece of paper as what it is. This is somebody's mom or somebody's dad or somebody's grandma. It's so important that we treat this like what it is. This is you helping somebody have the right thing. So when you enter this product, you have to make sure you don't do anything wrong and somebody doesn't have insurance when they need it. And I feel that way. Like when I talk to agents, I feel like, you know, hey, and most of the agents, and I think that's why I get so angry, like with the new CMS regs, in any industry, you're going to have some people that are not going to do the right things. But 99.9% of the time, our agents are really out there and trying to do the right things and trying to write the best products and trying to help the clients. And I think that's why I can do it, because I believe, you know, it's one of those things that I think it just boils down to that.
Yeah, the your passion took over and you forgot. I think if you would have had that same meeting to do over again, and you were going to read your notes, you'd have probably been more nervous.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Because I find that when I have notes in front of me and I'm trying to follow along or I'm trying to look up at a screen or something, and then I get caught in my notes and then I lose track. But if I just go talk about something that I believe in, then it's a whole different story. So it's a great lesson.
But it's funny you should say that, because the next meeting, then once that happened, then they're like, okay, you're on the road now. And in the next meeting, I had all my little, you know, cards with my notes, and I'm you're right. I knew I was like tanking, and I took my cards and I threw them up in the air and I said, I can't do this way. you're going to have to listen to me because I have to just talk from my heart. And I think you're exactly right. I can't do that. I know there's a lot of people that can do that, that are so polished and so well-spoken and can have their notes and can look at the screen, but that's just not me.
No, me either. Me either. I love that. So as you've kind of set back and watched and observed, I find myself doing this a lot of just kind of looking around our company, our industry, and just watching all the change and all the impact that you've had. And just, I was telling somebody the other day that even pulling into this parking lot here at our office, my heart just kind of skips a little sometimes because there's so many cars now. Mm-hmm. And there's so many cars now with car seats. And I know those car seats represent more lives being brought into this company. And I know they all have mortgages to drive home to and cars. And it's just such a huge, well, two things. It's a huge responsibility to know that when you look around this parking lot that continues to grow, just like yours have. But it's also just such a sense of pride that would you have ever thought, you know, when you and Kevin were starting off to have the level of success you guys have now and the people, all the people you're impacting, all the families that you're impacting. It's pretty cool. And
I had one of the carrier reps in today and I was telling them the story about how many people you had with new babies at one time.
Yeah. Our baby boom. Yeah.
Your baby boom. Cause we were talking about, I think they said by 2030, every baby boomer will be 65 or older.
That's not that far away.
Right. And we were talking about how this is the first generation where there will be less children than seniors.
Oh.
And I said, well, SMS is doing their part to really change the tide there. And we were laughing about
that. That's a very good goal. Yes, that's a good goal. So let's talk about Angela outside of the office. So I know you are a mom. I know you talk a lot about being a mom. Talk to us about that and what that family aspect means to you and how you have managed. Everybody talks about balance, right? The work-life balance. I don't know that anybody has the magical answer to that, but we all talk about it and we all try to figure out what that is. How have you tried to do that over the years?
I wasn't really good at marriage. So I decided, why do something that I know I might not be really good at, but I knew I would be good as a mom. So I adopted my son. He came to live with me when he was a little under 3. And he had a lot of issues. He had autism and ADHD. And, you know, I used to tease him and say, we got to find something with a Z. It's the only letter we don't have covered. He had a growth spurt when he turned 12. And that's when they found out he also had CP because he didn't have enough problems, which impacted his gait. And it was always just him and I. Yeah. And, when I traveled, I had to find people to care for him and stay at my house. But I loved it. Like, I just loved being his mom.
Yeah.
And no matter, you know, what the battle was, I was prepared to fight for him. And then my mom, who was widowed, you know, she became ill and I took her in to live with us. And we were truly that sandwich generation. I had my mom here and my son here and, you know, I was juggling them. And I thought, yeah, wow, you know what? I love family. Like Easter time, we have, I think we're up to 38 or 39 in our immediate family.
Wow.
Everybody comes to my house. I have a giant spread. It's a party and everybody's welcome. And I used to have a sit down, but we kind of grew out of that. And I tell them, you know, come over in the morning, stay at night, you know, because I never want to lose sight of how much that is my nourishment. Mm. If I'm down, if I'm depressed, if I'm like, oh my God, work was so bad today, that's where I go to replenish. And, you know, I just absolutely, I never ever like people when my son was at his worst, and believe me, we went through some bad times. People would say, are you sorry you did it? And I would always say, no,
terrible.
I know, but they would. But I was never sorry. I just love them. And
family's family.
And I made that choice and I realized, gosh, you know, I was so fortunate to have a good job. I was so lucky to have an understanding boss, you know, that I could work and be successful and support him. But how many other people are in my situation and don't have that luxury or those resources? And, you know, again, I just always feel like you learn to be a servant to people that you love, right? So there's people in my personal life and people in my job. And I feel like when I am doing things for them, that's really when I'm happy. Mm. And when I go home at night and I see my son and, you know, he's grumpy, for example, like I'll start teasing him or whatever. But the other day he says, look at my phone. I said, what do you want me to look at? He goes, look at my messages. I said, what? He goes, do you realize how many of these messages you've sent me? Because every time I get on a plane, I send him a message with 15 emojis, you know, hey, there was a book I used to read him when he was little. It was this book. And in the book, the mom every night would put her baby to bed and say, and I'm paraphrasing this, I love you forever.
Love you forever. That's one of my favorites.
I love that book, right? Yeah. So every time I get on a plane, I type him, I love you forever. I like you for always. As long as you're living, you'll always be my baby boy with all these emojis and everything. He's like, oh. And then when I land, I immediately text him and say, hey, I'm on the ground. Guess what? We have our reunion in an hour. And he's showing me and he's like, you need some new lines.
I
love to read and I tried so hard to make him a reader. Like I would buy, we would go to his book day at school and I would be like, any book you want to buy, we would buy all these books.
Yeah.
And every night I would pull him up next to me and I'd say, pick a book. And when I was teaching him to read, you know, he would stumble through, but I would read the one side of the page and he would read the other. And he used to love that, you know, but then as he got older, he just, you know, he could care less. And we were talking about it the other day. I'm like, I don't know how you could be my kid and not like books. Cause I read probably two books a week.
Two. Easily. You told me that once, but that just blows my mind. Two books a week.
I just love to read. It's my escape. I don't read. It's funny because it seems like Netflix should, you know, really call me. Because all these book series that I read, they are now turning into movies. Jack Reacher, The Terminal List.
Yeah.
They're all the books I read. I just want to escape. I don't want romance. I don't want, you know, I just want to escape somewhere where I know I'll never wind up, right? So I read constantly. And then every once in a while, I'll go on the top seller list for self-improvement books. I'll grab one of them. And, you know, I've tried to find things that he might want to read now. You know, but it's like a hopeless case. But I can't get him to read.
What, do you like it on his phone more, or is it just the art of reading?
I bought him an iPad Pro and downloaded a bunch of books about 2 years ago, and he hasn't opened any of them. Well, I'm lying. He opened one, which was a graphic novel. He's actually this is the irony, Joanne. He's doing this thing where he's writing manga, and that's really like a anime comic book, right?
Wow. He's gonna make his own book.
But right? I'm like, how can you do this and not read? So, you know, I'll take him to comic book stores and I'll be like, okay, find some comic books. So I finally got him. He's now reading comic books.
There you go. Well, I think the solution is you need to write a book. And then he would probably read that book.
Either that or be embarrassed by it.
That could, well, that's part of it. That should be on your goal list. when you were talking about your holidays and your family, I just found this song. I don't think it's new. I think it's over a year old, but I just found it. Brandi Carlile, I don't know if you follow any of her music or not, kind of a pop / indies, kind of like a Linda Ronstadt of ours, maybe that generation. She's that for today. Anyway, she has a song called Crowded Table. And I'm going to send it to you or you can look it up. But I just found that song the other day and it just really meant so much to me and spoke to me. But it's about having, her goal is to have a house with a crowded table and to always have family around and always remember that whatever happens out there when you come back, it's always about being around that table. So I thought about that when you were talking about your Easter and your holidays and everything. It's funny. So I grew up in a decent sized family, my mom and my dad's family, my aunts and uncles and all that. But then it's just my brothers and I, and then my husband just has one sister and neither one of them have any kids. So my kids barely have any cousins, you know, right. They're looking pretty deep for them. So long story short, I always hoped that my kids would marry into families that were big families because that was always a goal, you know, a wish or not a wish, but I just always thought that would be like the greatest thing in the world. And both of them married into families that are about as small as ours. So
oh, gosh.
We have to all get together to have a big family.
Come to Pennsylvania. Come to our house.
I'd love to. So I know you have to travel for work a lot. Do you and your son get out? Does he like to travel? Does he like to go places?
Well, he does like to travel, but as he's gotten older, his CP's gotten a little worse. So like now we have to travel with his wheelchair.
Yeah.
But, you know, like that's why we would go to Turks every year because it was great. As soon as we'd get there, they have a little rental place right in the middle we go to beaches. They have this place and we would immediately go and rent him a scooter. Perfect. He was independent the entire trip.
Yeah.
But when we go other places, it's difficult because like I took him to California 3 years ago, we did right before COVID and we started up in Napa Valley and then we went all the way down the coast. And I asked my nephew to come with us because, you know, for example, in San Diego Zoo, you know, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. And he's 6'1½. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So push in that chair. But he does like to go places. We're going to go to Florida in a couple weeks for a 4-day weekend. And I would love to take, I've been, you know, all over Europe, not as many places as I'd like to be, but I'd love to take them there, but it just, you know, you know, I know you've been there. The roads are not the streets and it's just hard with the wheelchair. And he's afraid to go on a cruise with me. So,
yes. Does he not like water?
Likes water, but when his gait got so much worse, he started having problems swimming. And he gets scared. Like he's got with the autism, he's got a lot of anxiety.
Right.
So, you know, like he's 23 now and I've been trying since he was 16 to get him to try and drive. I found a driving school where the teacher is actually a psychologist and you sign an agreement up front. He'll work with your children, but you sign an agreement that at the end of the period, if he doesn't feel that your child can drive safely, you will not pursue a license.
Oh, that's a good way.
And so I said to my son, I'm like, look, you know, this guy, this is what he does for a living. If he says you can't drive, you won't drive. So you shouldn't be worried about it. But so now I finally, 7 years, I finally convinced him to get the physical and he's going to get his permit and he's going to think about driving.
Baby steps.
Yeah. Well, my goal, I want him to be independent. Again, you know, that's why I think family is so important. My oldest brother's oldest son, we've discussed this, you know, because when I adopted him, I was a little bit older. So he's agreed that if something happens to me, he'll take him. And, so I know he has a place to go, but I still would like him to be as independent as possible.
Right. Well, you're talking about traveling with your son. My brother had an accident just about three years ago, exactly, and is now disabled and confined to a wheelchair. And I said at that time when I was going through all of that with him that what an amazing different set of eyes you have now, or I have now, by seeing things through his wheelchair, right? Like everywhere I go, even if my brother lives 3 hours from here, but everywhere I go, I'm like, oh my gosh, my brother couldn't get in here. Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
There's no way. What if my brother were here? What would he do? You know, I mean, you start looking at things differently. So I'm sure you've done that your whole life of looking at things from his perspective and what would be an acceptable place for him to go. You know, so thank goodness for all the associations, the ADA and all those things. But I just think there's so much more that we could be doing to make sure that those that don't have two good legs like we do can get in and out of places. But I think about that all the time now. It's crazy.
Well, there's that, like I mentioned with that rental, mm-hmm. knowing that we can go there and get that scooter and he's independent.
Yeah.
You know, that is the big thing. Like, yeah. And he's good because people will defer to him because he's in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just makes me nuts. I'm like, he's fine. And he'll say, listen, my mom doesn't feel sorry for me, but it's okay if you do.
I bet he's got a great sense of humor.
So, you know, like we'll be places and, you know, all of a sudden, like, would you like to come in? We're going to take you to the front of the line. And when we went to the last time we traveled, I had a couple of my nephews with me and we were going to Turks. So they take us all right through. The boys didn't have TSA. I did, but they didn't. They take us all right to the front of the line. They whisk us through the customs area. And we get the Turks, same thing. They take us first off the plane. They whisk us through customs. And my nephews go, I don't feel sorry for you anymore. I'm kind of jealous.
Bring you everywhere.
But yeah, to your point though, Joanne, you know, one time we went to a restaurant and you don't even think that in today's day and age, there's no elevators, but our building here is a historic building. Yeah. It was actually part of the Naval Air Warfare Development Center. It's where they developed drone technology. The original centrifuge is on our property. All the astronauts trained here. We don't have elevators.
Wow. Is that because it's so old? I mean, it's just dated.
Yep. It's just, it's a historic building. So they don't have to put an elevator in.
To preserve that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's something that because of him, I think about.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
You know, like what would he do if he needed a job here? He'd have to work on the first floor. But so, it does give you a different perspective.
It does. So of all the books you read, and then you mentioned that many of them that you read have turned into series, what's your favorite? What's your recommendation? I know there's like all the different genres and everything, but which one stood out to you of recent?
Jeez. I honestly, right now I'm rereading actually, Show the Terminal List on Netflix.
I just started hearing about that. I heard it's really good. The book is
by an author. His name is Jack Carr. And I'm rereading the books. The Terminal List was pretty close, but not exactly.
Okay.
But the reason I'm rereading it, I've always loved everything to do with the military. Mm. For a while, we had the VFW endorsement. We used to do the conventions. Yeah. You know, I get to meet all the veterans from Iraq, Iran, from Vietnam. And this guy, Jack Carr, is a SEAL. So he's writing from experience. And one of our employees, which I don't know if you remember him or not, and I'm not supposed to say his name, left to become a SEAL, become Special Forces.
Really? Man, that's
so, you know, I'm reading these books and I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm rereading them now thinking, okay, now I know this kid that was like one of my close to me people is going to be going through the things that I'm reading in these books.
So you're kind of picturing it through his eyes now, reading it that way. Oh, that's so cool. Oh, that's cool. I'll have to check that out. I've heard the books are really good. And
they're just fun. They're, you know, they're a good read on the plane, whatever. And so that's what I'm doing it as second read because after the movie came out, I wanted to reread it and see.
What's your favorite business book? We're in it. We do book clubs here quite a bit where we take a book and anybody that wants, it's voluntary, joins. And then we kind of do a little study group, just self-help, self-motivation, business books.
Yeah, I can't, you know, it's funny. I'll read a book. Like I remember when I read Who Moved the Cheese, I was like, I'm going to do everything this book says. And then, you know, the next one. And I always find things that, you know, I find value in, but somebody that was a mentor to me one time said to me, read The Art of War. It's not a business book, but it's so critical in learning how to deal with people.
Oh, okay.
So I started to look outside the genre and yeah. and try and find books from people that succeeded and find out what spurred them on, you know? So I really don't have a favorite in that category.
No, I like that. And I like that philosophy too, because I think, and you and I both have, you know, a lot of people that depend on us to keep this train rolling. So I'm always trying to look for inspiration anywhere I can. And a lot of times you're absolutely right. It's not, you know, a business book about insurance. It's not a business book about being a leader of a FMO, if there is such a book. Maybe we should write that,
Angela. Yeah, that should be our book.
But just anything like coaching, obviously parenting books. I bet I've said it already 10 times today. I'll say it 10 more times this week. Parenting and management and leadership, they're all cut from the same cloth. As you're leading your kids and teaching your kids and trying to empower your kids as they become older and become adults, it's the same exact thing that our kids here at work go through in their transition from employee to maybe this is the place they want to stay to where manager, and then pretty soon they're leading a whole department or a whole company too. Exactly. So yeah, I wrote down The Art of War. Definitely look into that, because you can find inspiration anywhere.
One of the things that we really try and do here, we have people that are far right, far left, right?
Yep.
We encourage everyone to speak their mind.
Yep.
And there's no right, there's no wrong. You know, I don't care what you believe, but this is a safe place. And, right. you know, we have some young people here. And, you know, Joanne, it's so funny. I would never intentionally do anything that was incorrect, right? But as you mentioned, we've been in this business a long time, and certainly what we came up with is really different now, right? Mm-hmm. So what I've begun to do, I'll go over there and say, all right, is this okay? Am I allowed to say this?
I guess my kids. Yeah. And my daughter for that.
It's not, you know. So one of the other things we started to try and do is encourage those conversations, because yep. sometimes we learn the best from people that we're sitting next to, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, I'm always over there like, all right, I know this is probably bad, right? I shouldn't say this
term anymore. Yeah. I know. Yeah, my kids keep me up on that for sure.
Oh gosh, right? Well, but yeah, so you know, I that's what I try and do. And I also try and like just I'm constantly on news sites, and I'm constantly mm-hmm. looking, and I'm trying to find things from current events and, yeah. and bring them into the office and strike up a conversation and a discussion.
There you go. It's a great idea. Because I do find that with the creation of these wonderful cell phones that we're all addicted to and hooked to like an IV, it seems like if everybody's version of what's happening in the world is skewed by this, right? The cell phone.
Right.
And what they follow and who else they follow and what those people think. And you know how the algorithms all work. I admire what you said about, you know, such diversity in our company. We've got people that would have never have met under any other circumstances. Their life, their paths would have never crossed. But because they're here together, now they have formed something that's unbreakable. But a lot of that is, it would have never happened had you didn't have some situation like a place of work to bring you together, because opinions and beliefs and ideas and fashion and way of thinking, it's all over the board. But I think if you don't encourage that and empower that and celebrate that, thank God we are all different. You know, you wouldn't want a bunch of clones of anybody walking around. But it sounds like, as I suspected, our culture and our companies are very, very similar. And I know that, believe it or not, it's time to start wrapping up. So I know, it goes so fast.
Boy, that went quick.
I know, it goes so fast, and I could definitely keep learning from you. I will keep learning from you. I look forward to the next time we can be together again soon, and I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I appreciate the heck out of you, Angela.
Thanks, Joanne, and I appreciate you. And thank you so much for inviting me today. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Oh, I did forget to tell you that. So I was running because I was running late from the other appointment over here. And so I said, oh, I got to go get my podcast started. And three or four people wanted to know who was on. And as soon as I said Angela, they're all like, tell her, tell her family hi.
So it's so funny. I'll end with that. The last meeting where we were all there, somebody said, oh, do they work for you? I said, no, they work for us. And they're like, aren't they your competitors? I'm like, yeah. Why you guys? There is so much food to put on our tables. We can certainly share. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I love your whole staff.
You guys are always our favorites too. So, all right. Yeah. Thanks, Angela. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. Take care.
We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.